And in studio, a man of God, Pastor Donnie Wilkinson of Broadmoor United Methodist. And he is a pastor there the past 4 years. And over the last few days, the United Methodist Church announced that it plans to split into two later this year. What is going on with the Methodist Church?
Well, so good to be with you, Jim. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you once again. I was just asking Danny if there is a word in the industry to describe the gap between the headline of a story and the actual facts of the story. And so what is before us is a potential split, absolutely, that has been long brewing. It's been going since 1972, discussions about inclusivity or exclusivity of the church for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered individuals.
Now there will be a conference in Minneapolis in May that will determine whether this actually happens.
Correct. The General Conference of the United Methodist Church meets every 4 years. There was a special session of the General Conference called last February in an effort to attempt to address this issue, to find a position that everyone could agree with, could live with, a tightening of the church's rules as it relates to LGBT persons in the life of the church was passed. And in response to that, there was a groundswell of people in the United States, Methodists, who were opposed to that. And this has led to this creation of this group that developed the protocols with the help of Mr. Feinberg.
The United Methodist Church lists more than 13 million members in the United States, 80 million worldwide. Have you always been a member of the church?
I have. I was baptized as a member of Mangum United Methodist Church in October of 1972.
Now, Methodists are considered to be perhaps less fundamentalist than other Christian denominations. Is that fair?
That is, yes. The Methodist Church has an understanding of Scripture. It's an extremely high understanding of Scripture, but it is not an inerrantist, absolute infallibility sort of statement as some of our sisters and brothers a little bit further to the right do.
So why is there this discord over gay marriage? You think the Methodist Church might be able to embrace this change in our society more readily than some other churches?
The change is always hard, and the changes in society impact with the church. And there was an opportunity, at least one way of reading the history, there was an opportunity for the Methodist Church to be a leader in the inclusivity of gay persons in the life of the church. In 1972, there was a proposal put forward that would create space in the church for LGBT persons, and from the floor of that, a language was added into our book of discipline, our rule book, that said that that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. And from that point in 1972 up until the current day, there has been a profound disagreement about how to read the scriptures and whether there's a place for gay people in the life of the church.
877-217-5757 is your number for Pastor Donnie Wilkinson of Broadmoor United Methodist here in Baton Rouge, and he has been at that post for 4 years, native of Ruston. The New York Times describes this split as a traditionalist side opposed to gay marriage and the ordination of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender clergy, and a progressive wing in the church that will allow same-sex marriage and LGBT clergy. How do you stand on this?
Growing up in Ruston, in rural North Louisiana, I did not knowingly know any gay person. I knew this guy on Hollywood Squares, Jim Jefferson, that was funny in a way that was different than everybody else was funny, but I did not even have a conceptual framework.
Who was it?
Jay, oh, I'm forgetting what his name is, Jim J. Jefferson. He was on a soap and okay. On some other shows like that. Right. He was a big time on Hollywood Squares, and he was a funny, funny guy, but it was different than anybody I'd ever seen in my life. Going on through high school and through college and active in the church, hit that part of my faith where I didn't know what, if anything, I believed about God, that pushed through that time of of insecurity, of not knowing what I believed, and came to a profound living faith in Christ and heard God calling me into the ministry. A key point in that was on a Christmas Eve. I don't know if you attended a Christmas Eve service, but one of the highlights for me every year is someone singing that beautiful hymn, O Holy Night, in that night when the gentleman stood up in the choir loft and sang that song. It was so beautiful. It felt as if the whole universe is bending in to listen to these words, and it resonated in my soul. When I was in seminary, this debate was emerging and rolling through there, and I didn't know, I'd never considered it. But then I came to learn that that gentleman who sang that song so beautifully, that God used to reach me at a point when I didn't know if I wanted anything to do with the church, that that gentleman had died of AIDS. And in that moment, if I've ever heard the voice, it was then, and it was a single word, remember. And my position is that if God can use a gay black man in rural North Louisiana to reach me, who am I to say who God can use or not use to reach other people?
So you believe in inclusion?
I believe in inclusion.
Have you conducted gay marriages?
I have not.
Okay. Last month, Grace Fellowship UMC of Houston, with 2,800 members, voted to leave the denomination over the church's debate over same-sex unions and gay clergy, opting to remain conservative and oppose such marriages. There will be a vote at the Worldwide Conference in Minneapolis in May. You will be attending?
No, I'm not a delegate this time. I have several close friends and colleagues who are a part of that, and we are all helping each other make sure that we are up to date on the latest information.
Would you perform a gay marriage?
At this point in time, the rules of the United Methodist Church do not allow us to do it, and I made a covenant.
If you were given that opportunity.
If there's always an opportunity, I would do that, which I do with every marriage. I would sit and say, pray as God is asking me to do this at this time for this couple.
877-217-5757 for Pastor Donnie Wilkinson of First United Methodist, or United Methodist Broadmoor.
Broadmoor United Methodist.
Not First United. Pat Chris Andrews on here too many times.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dan downtown. Dan, speaking of First United. Dan, good morning.
Yes. Let me ask you, do anti-gay people think that God created them just to be ostracized by society at large, or that God created them straight and they just chose to be gay and then ostracized?
I do not know what is in the mind or hearts of anti-gay people, as the person called it, referred to them. I would encourage them to talk to those and to sit down and have the serious conversations to hear where one another are coming from. The beauty of the tragic beauty of the protocol that was adopted was that after 40-plus years of fighting about this, serious, committed people who love the church and who believe in the mission finally sat down and did the hard, holy work of mediation to reach an agreement so that both can feel good about the future that God is calling them into.
A listener, Andrea, notes that this plan comes at a time when newly adopted sanctions were set to go into effect to more strictly punish church pastors who perform same-sex marriages. What would happen if you performed one without consent?
In the United Methodist Church, there is a judicial branch of it, and there would be a charge, potentially a charge would be made against me, and then that would be adjudicated by the Bishop of Louisiana, the Louisiana Conference, who at this time is Cynthia Fierro Harvey, who was also one of the participants in the group, and she was one of the participants in the mediation group.
Well, and that probably would not go well for you.
Well, it is always tragic. It is always expensive. It is always heartbreaking. And if I believe that I was called to do that, I would be. That's civil disobedience. You take the punishment that is inflicted if it's you're breaking the rules intentionally.
877-217-5757 is your number. We'll be back after this brief pause with more from Pastor Wilkinson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We head down the stretch today with Pastor Donnie Wilkinson of United Methodist Broadmoor here in Baton Rouge, and there is a schism in the Methodist Church. 13 million members in the United States, of course, many in Louisiana, planning to split into two later this year if a plan is approved at the church's worldwide conference in Minneapolis in May, and it's regarding gay clergy and gay marriage. The U.S. Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage throughout the nation in 2015, but that decision applies only to civil, not religious services at some denominations, including the Episcopal Church and certain branches of Judaism, have sanctified same-sex unions. Others, including the Roman Catholic Church, of which I am a member, and the Southern Baptist Convention, have declined to do so. 877-217-5757. Last week, in a New York Times account, a Council of Methodist Bishops in Washington called the move the best means to resolve our differences. Has it come to that, where this is the best way to do it?
As a pastor, I've sat down many times with couples as they try to resolve differences, and sometimes you reach the heartbreaking realization that to stay together, they will continue to do harm to each other. I'm sad that it has reached this point. I think there were probably many opportunities for us in past years to sit down and to really try to work through this and listen to each other and talk to each other. But this is where we are, and this is the best next step for the people of the Methodist Church on all spectrums going forward. It is just one of still many proposals that still has to be adopted by the General Conference.
We know where you stand, but what about your church? Do you speak for the church that you represent, or does this particular church perhaps go in a different direction that you want to go?
Broadmoor was founded 65 years ago this summer, and since that time it has been made up of people of a broad varieties of religious and political conventions. The church has not taken an official stance, so anything that I'm saying is only speaking for me personally. I know in our church now we have people who would easily identify themselves with the traditionalist side, and we have people who would easily identify themselves with the progressive side, and the majority are somewhere in between those two poles.
So you don't know?
No, I get a sense that, like most United Methodist churches across the country, we are somewhere between 45 progressive centrist to 55 conservative one way or the other. It could easily go either way, but it's a mixture of both.
Well, there has been widespread movement in the court of public opinion on this issue toward inclusion. And it is an amazing happening in our country based on the way we viewed gay people and gay marriage not so long ago.
Absolutely. It's one of the fastest transformations of public opinion on any topic in the modern world.
So do you think people who are traditionalists are on the wrong side of history?
You know, I sincerely try to live by Jesus' commandments, not to judge others. I'm doing what I believe is best, my best understanding of what it means to follow Jesus Christ in the power of God's Holy Spirit, reading the scriptures. And this is where I am, and I bless my brothers and sisters who have a different opinion than me.
Now, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Pastor, but I think based on what you've said that you believe Jesus would be inclusive.
I do.
Now, yesterday we heard from Pastor Gene Mills at the Baton Rouge Press Club. I'm sure he would say that the Bible forbids homosexuality.
There was a famous theologian of the last century, Reinhold Niebuhr, who was asked about his theology. And he said, here's what I know. I know I am wrong on 10% of what I believe. The problem is I don't know which 10%. And if I have not correctly discern the spirit on this, then I throw myself upon the grace and mercy of God and ask for forgiveness, which I hope my brothers and sisters on the other side would be willing to admit and do it as well.
But it sounds as though you feel strongly about this, that you're not murky and taking one side or the other.
I'm not. I know why I believe. I know how I came to this position. And if you go back and you read through the book of Acts, it was the evidence of God's Spirit active in the lives of the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, which convinced the early church that, yes, God indeed opened the door to people who at one time were considered outside and forbidden. I've seen the Spirit mm-hmm. active and present in the life of lesbian and gay persons, and some of the most Christ-like people I've ever met in my life would identify as LGBT.
Is this somewhat of a regional issue? Are people in the South, for example, more reluctant to get away from the traditional version of sexuality?
That depends a great deal on what part of the South you're in. The urban centers, particularly New Orleans, Montgomery, Atlanta, so the Houston area, there are many churches that have already adopted a more progressive
position. It's similar to what we see in political circles, in which these urban areas are largely blue, mm-hmm. and the rural areas are largely red.
Correct.
So it is remarkable that politics and this particular issue and worship are going hand in glove.
Well, I believe it's a large part to do with being in contact with people who are different than you and discovering that they're not boogeymen, that they're not monsters, that they have the same hopes and fears and dreams as you do, that no matter how shiny their life might look on the outside, we are all going through life holding on by the tips of our fingers. And as we discover that common humanity, we find grace for others.
877-217-5757 for Pastor Wilkinson. There's still time to get in. Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I find most disheartening the fact that so many of those who oppose gay marriage and LGBTQ in general cherry-pick the Bible and specifically the Old Testament, ignoring the parts of the New Testament saying, well, ignore the Old Testament because now we have something new. And then the only things that matter are the parts in Leviticus that apply to what they want to believe and not what they really kind of want to do.
Yeah, you know, Louisiana would be in a world of trouble if we followed the Levitical prohibition on shrimp. So it is very easy to read the prohibitions in both the Old and New Testament about what we would call moral issues and to see the other person, to see how they are falling short. The command of Scripture is to read those and to use it as a mirror to examine one's own life and to see if one is living in a moral and righteous way.
Thank you, Jim. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Yes, I understand that there's quite a bit of confusion and a question about and researching the rule about men sleeping with men, that it was misinterpreted that what it was meant to talk about was Roman soldiers or Roman men sleeping with boys, that it was more about child abuse, and that had been misconstrued or mistranslated.
There are active debates among people of good faith on both sides about whether this is dealing with LGBT issues as we conceive and understand them today or dealing with something with pederasty. Martin Luther, when he made the translation of the Bible into German at the start of the Reformation, my understanding was that it was more, he translated into a German word that was more along the lines of pederasty, which were adult males with young boys.
Laurie asks if pastors and congregants in any church, including yours, who are receptive to gay clergy and gay marriage, are they more likely to be also receptive to abortion rights for women?
I will say this. I know people who are very much in favor of abortion rights, who still are not ready to accept full inclusion of LGBT people. I know people who are ready for the full inclusion of LGBT people who are still hesitant to go as far as on abortion rights. If you look at the broad picture,
but on the whole,
there's probably clusters in those areas.
And
this is one of the parts where it's difficult. These are not issues. They are not matters on the whole. We are dealing with individual lives. And what does it mean to treat this person in front of me with grace, compassion, and love?
Well, there's a lot of hate out there.
Absolutely. But as Dr. King said,
go ahead. What did Dr. King say?
Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
And love is the most powerful emotion.
It is. Well, and it's not just an emotion. It's not just a fleeting feeling. It is the foundational reality, I believe, of the universe. It is what draws people together and creates the spark of life itself.
But for a man in this world who expresses those kinds of feelings, quite often that's viewed as being weak.
Well, there are many, many traditions that, when you look in the course of history, they are tragic because we, you know, people who graduated from the John Wayne School of Emotional Maturity, who go through life and do not have the emotional capacity to express where they really are. And our emotions are about expressing where we really are in the moment. And those who are unable to do so live such narrow, confined lives.
Well, thank you, Pastor Wilkinson. Let's do this again.
Absolutely. Thank you. Anytime.
Good guest. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, for Alondra Villarreal, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.